Greetings to you, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay, shall we pray as we get into the word? Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again for the time you have given us that we can gather here this morning to listen to you speaking to us through your word. And even as I stand here, I do pray that, Lord, your spirit will take the lead. May you be glorified in everything that is going to be said here this morning through the power of your Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the times I have shared with these brothers and sisters here at Mukanyo for the past years. And indeed, coming to the end, mixed emotions, mixed feelings, reactions. But we do thank you that, Lord, there is time for everything. And Lord, you lead us in various ways, at various stages, to various stations. It is my prayer that, Lord, you be with these, your servants, and you will be with me as well as I look forward to exit this place. Pray for your blessing, pray for your guidance, and be with us now, Lord, as we look into your word. In your name I pray. Amen. The sermon I'm going to bring to you this morning, I know certain congregants have got a very sharp memory. They are able to remember that this sermon has been preached somewhere. But this one, most of you were not here. It was preached 3 years ago. And I've been thinking what to leave with the students, particularly. All of you can listen. You are welcome. But I've been thinking critically about the students, what I should leave with you as I make my way out in the next 43 days to go. So, yes, I'm counting down. I need to plan my stuff. So I know where I am exactly. Yeah. So it's a sermon that I gave at a graduation in 2019. I've modified it to suit you, the students, and not graduates. Okay. So, Jesus worked with an amazing group of 12 men. The disciples, the personalities of these men ranged from the doubting Thomas, as we normally call him, Judas Iscariot, who seemed to care so much about accounting and the poor, but later he betrayed Jesus. The loyal John, who was labeled the disciple whom Jesus loved and always close to Jesus. And also the self-confident Peter, a man of extremes. He said, "You cannot wash my feet." Then the next minute he said, "Lord, not just my feet, but also my hands, my head." Later he said, "I lay down my life for you." And Jesus said, "Will you lay down your life for me?" After this clear claim to lay his life for his master, he denied him later 3 times. So these are the men Jesus worked with. Interesting characters, different under one master. And this morning I'd like to focus on Peter's conversation with Jesus in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21. I'm going to read from verse 15 up to the end of the chapter. From verse 15 up to the end of the chapter. It reads as follows. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the whole world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Okay, that's the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
So in John 21, Jesus revealed himself for the third time to his disciples after the resurrection. As you can see in verse 14 there, then seven of the disciples had gone back to fishing. Chapter 21, verse 2. And they caught nothing the whole night until a miraculous catch of 153 large fish that very night. In verse 11, Jesus waited for them beside a fire where a meal was cooking. In verse 19 of chapter 21, just to give you the broader context there, what is happening. And upon realizing that it was Jesus, then Peter jumped into the water and went to Jesus. The other disciples followed, and they had a meal together with Jesus. Then Jesus had a talk with Peter in the presence of others. And this is where I have read, where Jesus now is having a conversation with Peter, talking. And I would like to focus on verses 15 to verse 19 only this morning. I would like to talk about hindrances that must be removed if we are to follow Jesus faithfully. That's the first thing. Then secondly, we also must accept the charge or the responsibility that he has given us. And then finally, we must carry the cross every day. So I've entitled my sermon here, Follow Jesus and Feed the Sheep. Follow Jesus and Feed the Sheep. Let's begin in verse 15. The first part of verse 15 where it says, When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? So it's after breakfast, Jesus confronted Peter's barrier to ministry. Peter has a problem. Peter has a barrier that needs to be removed, a hindrance that must be dealt with if he is going to be effective in ministry, wherever he's going to go in the future. So Jesus wants to deal with that. And what is that barrier in Peter's life? It was a vacillating character that could act as a barrier, that could act as something that is going to hinder him in future ministry. But also the removal of the character barrier leads Peter to restoration. It leads to his restoration. Remember, he has just denied Jesus 3 times. Now Jesus has risen, and then he sees him across. Then he runs into the water, goes back to him. Remember, the same guy who denied him, he is running to him, joyfully, happy. But as Jesus is looking at him, he is like, "My son, you've got a problem. Something needs to be dealt with." That's why there is this conversation. That barrier has to be removed, and also restoration is going to come once that is done. So the fire by the seashore is reminiscent to Peter of the night he denied Jesus, sitting at the fire. Remember that slave girl who came to him and, "Oh, you are one of them." Peter is like, "No, I don't know him." He was warming himself. It was cold. So this time again, they are facing each other, sitting at the fire. So Jesus has chosen this just to remind Peter of that very night when he denied him, when Jesus was being persecuted. So Jesus looked at him that night, and Peter left the fire weeping at the third time he denied him. And here in John, they are looking at each other by the fire with a different mission this time, a mission of restoration, a mission to remove a barrier so that this man will serve Jesus faithfully and with boldness in the future. So Jesus' confrontation is not meant to destroy Simon. The confrontation is not meant to embarrass him, but to restore him to his liberty, to restore him to his authority. So Jesus addresses him here as Simon Peter. As we see, he calls him Simon Peter. Not Peter the rock, but he begins with Simon, because he has failed to live up to the meaning of his name as the rock, as Peter. So he begins with Simon. Now, on his own, Simon could never have remained faithful. But the Simon that accepts confrontation from the master is restored back to the rock, is restored back to Peter, when that hindrance, when that vacillating character is dealt with. Now we would wonder how Jesus could restore Peter, who had denied him, not once, but 3 times in a row. And here is the answer. Peter has failed. He failed. He denied Jesus. He denied his master. But Jesus is not done with him. Have we failed in life sometimes? Yes, we have failed many times. We have had so many failures in life. But failure is never final with God when we fail. It's never final. A certain man by the name Snowden said, "You ask me what forgiveness is. It is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgrace him." This is Peter. God is trusting him again in the place where he disgraced the master. And Jesus is trusting him again. Not once. He failed him 3 times. So failure is never final with God. You know, the man who invented the bulb, the light bulb, do you know how many times he failed when he was trying to light up that light bulb so that we can have lights as we have them today? It is said he failed 999 times. Kept on trying. And then the 1,000th time, the light was on. And when he was asked to say, were you not discouraged to keep on repeating the same thing 999 times and nothing is coming up? He said, no, I wasn't discouraged, because I learned 999 times of not lighting the bulb. There's only one way to light it, and all these are not the right way. So for me, it was an encouragement. So failure with God, failure is never final with God. Jesus here trusted Peter where he disgraced him. So character flaws that are not confronted by Jesus could take you out of ministry very soon. If we have some character flaws that we have, and Jesus, if they are not confronted by Jesus, while we are here at Mkanyo, while we are still studying, they will soon take out of ministry when we go into ministry. And on the other hand, a pastor who puts hope and confidence in a certificate without character will fail to communicate the message of salvation to the lost. There's a tendency to say, I only want the certificate, I only want the degree, then I can walk outside Mkanyo. But once I am outside of Mkanyo, I'll do whatever I want. I'll go back to my old styles of preaching, old styles of doing things. Simply because hanged on my wall is a certificate there which says I'm a trained pastor. Don't you know that? But the way we are doing ministry, we don't reflect that we are trained. Those character flaws, those hindrances must be dealt with now. And the place to deal with them, it is right here. You are just like soldiers being trained to be strong, to be courageous. So this is the right place. And a soldier who is not willing to be trained, who is not willing to be trained, who is not willing to have his hindrances removed during the training sessions, is likely to be the first one to be hit in the battlefront, because you were not equipped for the job. So certain hindrances to ministry may take time to manifest, just like pride, envy, jealousy, lust, dishonesty. There are many. And if you do not follow, if you do not allow the Lord to deal with you now, remember the words of Moses to the tribe of Reuben and Gad. Moses said, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin has a funny way of coming out. It will indeed find you out. Now, not only do we see Peter here being confronted for restoration by Jesus, but also he had a charge to accept. Therefore, we see that he had to accept the obligation. He had to accept the responsibility from verse 15b up to verse 17, where Jesus is always saying, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. That's the responsibility he's being given there by Jesus. So Jesus directed Peter to the responsibility of feeding and taking care of the sheep. So following Jesus is not enough. We must love him and we must accept the responsibilities he gives us to do. Just following is not enough. We have a role to play. We have responsibilities he has given us. We must accept them. Are you willing to go where he sends you? Do you know where you are going to be in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years? You don't know. I also don't know. But the Lord knows where we are going to be at. So we have to accept the responsibilities that He gives us. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." That's the responsibility. Peter is the under shepherd, and Jesus is the chief shepherd of the sheep. Feed my sheep. The sheep you are feeding, they are not yours, they are mine. Pastors tend to claim members as if they are their own. This is my church member, this is my member, this is my member. They are not your members. They are God's children. You are just a steward. You are just a steward. You are just a tool that the Lord is using in that particular church. So the Lord says, feed God's people the word entrusted to you. Remember, some of these members, some are weak. Some are not steady in character. Others seem to be dull. They don't understand what is going on in the church. Others are very slow to learn. Others have an unteachable spirit. Others will make you fail and weaken you. Others are evil. The list is endless. I remember Mruti Mukhale, when he was preaching here, having a hard time, rough time with an elder in the church. There are people like that. You are going to face them in the church. How are you going to deal with them? Are you going to feed them? Are you going to regard them as God's sheep as well that needs tending, that needs care? But the word of God is sufficient to deal with all of this. That is, if we are faithful to Him, that is, if we are faithful also to Scripture. So it is just like Jesus leading the 12 men that were not the same, but He modeled each of them to conform to His will. Peter also including here the Thomas, who also doubted Him. These are the people Jesus wants you to work with. And you will go into the ministry with good plans after graduation at Mkanyo. But let me tell you this. None of those plans will work unless you accept the responsibility God has given you. And not only accepting, but also understand what it means to be a pastor. That means to be understood. So your responsibility is to faithfully feed the sheep. And what kind of food are you going to feed them? These are the people. Remember, there are people who are masquerading as shepherds and are feeding congregants all the wrong things. You know what is happening now, and you know them, and you have heard about them. If you accept the responsibility to feed the sheep in whatever capacity you are going to serve, listen here, I'm saying in whatever capacity. I know some of us want to be apostles. Some of us want to be bishops. Some of us want to be these big titles. Maybe you are not going to be a recognized person in ministry. Serve the Lord in that lowest position. Do your job and do it faithfully, honestly. And the Lord sees and knows your heart, and He will reward you when you get to heaven. That seems too far away, isn't it? Yes, when we get to heaven, He will reward us. I was just saying this morning in class in church history that sometimes you hatch a plan that is so big, and the plan becomes famous. And the person who was never maybe in the initial stages of that plan takes it, hijacks it, and becomes famous. And you are not famous. What do you do? Do you stop doing good things? No. Keep on doing the good things you have been doing. So if you accept the responsibility to feed the sheep in whatever capacity you are going to serve. The Lord is going to bless you. So to do this, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. If you are thinking of going to dramatize before the sheep, as we see happening in the pulpit, or stage manage things to be famous, let me tell you this morning from my heart that you are in the wrong field and you have not accepted the responsibility. We do not go into ministry to do drama, to do gimmicks. If you are going to repeat the same sermons like I am doing today for a good reason, if you are going to repeat the same sermons, please do not accept the responsibility, because God's sheep is going to suffer. The sheep are going to suffer from kwashioka. The church out there is contaminated and it needs to be fed. Needs to be fed. That's why Jesus constantly said to Peter, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. Shepherding, pastoral care. Shepherding, pastoral care. For those of us who were in the church history class, that's the topic we were having today. So Jesus also said to Peter, as you accept the task of taking care of my sheep, says here, brothers, you can only take care of somebody or something because you love them. Peter had to love the sheep. And we can only be in ministry if we love the people we are going to serve. If we don't love them, then we are there for other reasons. Like I said, remember, among the sheep, we have souls that are wounded. Wounded marriages, wounded lifestyles, and wounded relationships and all that. And it takes somebody who is concerned about the sheep. It takes somebody who would like to care for those sheep out of the love, not your own love, but the love that Jesus, that God gives us. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love, we are doing this because the love of God compels us to do so. So if you are committed to Christ, it means you must also be committed to the church you will be serving. So we have seen that hindrances must be removed and we must accept the responsibility that Jesus gives us. And also, finally, we must be willing to be his disciples every day, to carry the cross, as we see from verses 18 up to verse 19 there. So ministry comes with a cost to be paid and sacrifices to be made. If you are not ready to do this, don't get into ministry. What are your thoughts about ministry? Fat salary? Big car? Nice house? Changing suits every Sunday? Nice perfumes? What are your thoughts about ministry? It comes with sacrifice. When I was going through this message, revising it again, just thinking of Dr. Brian being here, away from home, isn't that a sacrifice? And many others, we know those founders of Mkanyo here, away from home, sacrifice. Once again, I go back to our Reformation class. You know what has been happening. Men who sacrifice their lives. Ministry has a price to be paid. And if you are not willing to pay the price, it's not a place for you. you are not ready. It is not a place for glory and pomp. There is no glory, remember, without the cross and thorns, as we see in the life of Christ. That is what our Savior went through. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the suffering in ministry. You will suffer in ministry. Jesus prophetically here prepared Peter for his martyrdom. Remember when he said, "You will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Jesus is preparing Peter here. He's talking to Peter about his martyrdom. And Jesus is saying to Peter, "You will serve me into old age, but you will die with your hands outstretched." And this is a euphemism for Peter's death on the cross, as you see here in verse 18. Reliable tradition informs us that Peter followed his master in the same form of death under the Emperor Nero, though he was crucified upside down. He paid the cost of his calling. That hindrance of a vacillating character has been dealt with. And look at him in Acts, in the book of Acts, who is the first to preach. It's the same guy, bold, ready to go, on fire. And the Lord used him to the maximum, and yet he paid the price in the end. There is suffering. I don't want to paint a very pessimistic picture of ministry. Yes, there are good things also to be enjoyed, but let us not forget also that there's the other side that we have to go through. When Jesus says someone will lead you, it means your will in ministry will not work. My will in ministry does not work, but only God's will is going to prevail. When I came to Nkanyo, 24 May 2017, I almost wanted to leave. The first 2 months. Yes. But it was not God's will. And here I stand, 5 years, 6 months. When I go, it will be 5 years, 7 months. It is the Lord's will. So God's will sometimes can lead you to less desirable places and people you do not like. That's God's will. I'm sure you are going to continue with your series, Dr. Greg, about Jonah, isn't it? Where is Jonah? Where did Jonah go? Ran away and is with people, that strange people. But look at what happened. The Lord's will prevailed. And God even gave him free transport to get to Nineveh. Gave him free transport. God's will always prevail, no matter what. So he will make you work, maybe, with an elder, like I said, who shall give you rough times. You must carry your cross every day. 11 of the apostles, we know they died unnatural deaths. Only John died an old man. He died a natural death. So today we have the so-called apostles who tell you that suffering is lack of faith. Suffering is not God's idea. Brothers and sisters, such people are not teaching and preaching the whole counsel of Scripture. Such people are not even willing to carry the cross because they milk, don't milk sheep, you milk the cow. They are exploiting the sheep. And they leave them malnourished to death. And this is horrible. For some to start a church these days, it's not really something committed to please the Lord. But some people see starting a church as a business. They see it as a spaza shop. You know those corner shops where you can make some income. Wrong motives. The old pastors in sound evangelical churches, as we see today, deprive the younger generation of pastors of the opportunity to serve the Lord in the church, because they know if the younger ones come, they won't be able to keep on milking the cow. This is not carrying the cross, but somebody now is becoming a hindrance to ministry. There's time always to do things, and time always to go. I'm not talking about my going. In a plain sense. In a plain sense. That's something we need to be aware of. So, brothers and sisters, it is so easy to tell if a pastor is not carrying the cross or not. If he's serious with ministry or not. We must die every day to self. This refers to mortification, the word metamorphosis. Keeping on changing every day, transforming for the glory of the Lord, to conform to his will. So this is what Jesus meant by when he said, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, somebody is going to dress you. Carrying the cross. Carrying the cross. And follow him. And do so faithfully. So what is our motive for being here at Mkanyo? In whatever capacity, what's the motive? The human tendency is self-gratification, but we must follow Jesus, our chief shepherd, if we are going to serve him faithfully.